Welcome to the All About Alts podcast, where we explore the world of alternative investing to help you find financial independence. Join our host, Newview Trust's president, Jason DeBono, as he covers a variety of topics with different guest speakers to discuss tax and alternative investing strategies. It is never too late to start taking control of your financial future, and we are so excited for you to be joining us for this opportunity to hear from some of the best in the business.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the All About Alts podcast. I am your host, Jason DeBono, and I am excited. We've got Ted Thomas here today, the authority on tax deed and tax certificate investing, which is super cool. For those that don't know, you're in for a treat today. Ted, how are you?
I'm just great. All's well with me.
Good. Well, you know, we talk about tax deeds or tax certificates, and these kind of people are like, well, what are they? How do they exist? And we're going to talk about that. But you've been doing this a long time, right? 30 plus years.
Right.
How'd you get started, right? Go. Take us down memory lane, Ted.
Okay. My first career was actually as an airline pilot. And when I finished that, I got involved in real estate. And I found out that if you wanted to do certain parts of real estate, there's always a problem finding the property. By that, I mean, not just a nice shopping center or a nice house, but if you wanted to find some kind of distressed property, like a foreclosure or a probate or something, it was a big challenge getting these properties, especially if the market was going up because all the investors bought them all up ahead of time. So I wanted to get a source that was there all the time. And when I discovered tax defaulted property and tax lien certificates, I said, wow, look at this. There's thousands of these properties and the world doesn't know about it. And so a lot of people weren't even talking about it or doing anything about it. So I got a little bit involved in it then. Then once I started making money, as soon as you tell one person that you made money doing that, they want to know a lot more about it, right? And then they tell somebody else, and then it just kept developing. And so I stayed relatively small until about 10 years ago, and then I started doing different things. So I've done everything from make infomercials to be in the direct mail business to doing seminars to do every part of it. But I ended up as an authority because I stayed with the same thing all the time till it really became commonplace. And of course, I have everything from coaches to facilitators. I have 14 people working for me doing the same thing all the time, 24/7. So that's kind of what I do.
Well, what a fun story, you know, and it is amazing how from an investment standpoint, it is still very quiet, right? And in some ways, that's a really good thing. But you certainly worked your way into the world as an authority. You've got a book, right?
Many, many, 27 of them.
You've been quoted in or appeared in MSNBC, Fox News, ABC, USA Today, CNN, you name it. So people do turn to Ted Thomas when it comes to tax defaulted investments. So what are you doing today? You mentioned you've got 14 people that are working for you. You're doing some coaching, mentoring. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about what your business looks like today.
Well, just a short time ago, 3 years ago, after never doing anything online, I formed a YouTube channel. And that YouTube channel, it just basically kind of took off. Now, it didn't go to, you know, 50,000 views or something like that, but it did quickly go to 2,000 or 3,000 people a day that were interested in tax defaulted property. So that caused a lot of people to come to us and say, well, how do you go about learning all this? So there's two simple things to separate. And the two simple things are, one is a tax lien certificate, which is nothing more than a piece of paper. And I'll actually show you one here in a minute. And then the other one is tax defaulted property. Now, if you keep these simple, it was all devised 200 years ago, not by me, but by way back in the Pilgrim era, when people died or something went wrong in their life and they couldn't pay the taxes. Well, all property taxes do is pay for the services like the police and the school and the fire department and the hospitals. That's all those services paid. So the county has to collect those taxes. So if they collect the taxes, they're okay. But what if they don't collect the taxes? Well, then that's how they invented tax liens. That's how they invented tax deeds. So from a complicated standpoint, it's really very, very basic business. And once you learn the basics, well, then anybody can do it. So if you could read and write, you could actually do tax liens and deeds. But no one's out there teaching it. And the reason they weren't teaching it prior to me going online and doing television infomercials and things like that. Prior to that, very few people taught it because there was no way they could make any money doing it. Okay, so the attorneys, they kept kind of quiet about it. The real estate brokers, they want to sell real estate. Nothing wrong with a broker, but they have to get paid, so they get a commission. Well, no commissions and tax liens. Why were they going to talk about those? So that's how I got started. It just kind of stepped up and kept going. It kept growing. It kept growing. And we had to get more sophisticated because now the expectation is so high. Now people are so spoiled. I'll give you an example. When I wanted to buy a tax lien 30 years ago, I had to walk down to the county records, go in there, bang on the door, and say, I like that. They say, you want what? I said, I want to buy a tax lien. Well, we don't have those. What do you mean you don't have those? Of course you have them. The people in the county didn't know. So, oh, you better go see the treasurer. So this all took all day, and then they'd give you, this is what a tax lien looks like. That's what one looks like, just like that. Just a piece of paper. And I said, well, I want to buy some of those. They said, well, which one do you want to buy? I said, hell, I didn't know. So they have a list. This is a list for Jacksonville. Look at that. It's a list. There's 15,000 certificates just in Jacksonville. And the people in Jacksonville don't even know it. I'd say if you wanted to go to Tampa, Florida, there's the list for Tampa. There's about 40,000 certificates on that list. 40,000. People didn't even know it. So nobody knew any of that stuff. So we'd go and we could buy those certificates. Now, a certificate in Florida, you could earn 18%. And at that time, if you went to an auction, about four people would show up. Seriously, just a few people. They come in one car. Nowadays, hundreds of people show up, but they're afraid to bid because they don't know what to do. They say, I don't know. What if I get the wrong one? Well, that's probably a good idea. You really shouldn't, you know, you wouldn't marry the woman unless you looked at her, right? Well, it's the same thing in real estate. Don't buy the real estate unless you look at it. So these people go to the auction, they don't get prepared. What do you mean you don't get prepared? They don't go look, is that a property? Is it in the ghetto or is it under the water? You know, it's amazing. In West Palm Beach, they have a big lake next to Palm Beach County called Lake Okeechobee. Massive, massive lakes, huge. They actually have property under the lake. When the lake goes down, they go and mark out lots. They're taxable lots. They're underwater. And people bid on them. I said, why would you bid on a property? What are you going to do with that? I don't know. It's way under the water. Yeah, people just didn't know. They just didn't know. So yeah, now it's very sophisticated. Now you go click, click, click on the computer. Now the kids in the fourth grade do better than well. I'm 85 years old. You know, now a kid in the fourth grade, 14-year-old, just click, click. Oh, there it is. We're like, hey, Dad, look at this. It's unbelievable. Yeah,
times have changed. Well, you know, I knew nothing of a tax lien or any sort of tax certificate or any sort of tax deed. And it took me a few years to actually put it together. But when I was in college, I worked at a department store and you work with a bunch of college kids. It's pretty common. And I remember one of the kids I worked with, I really, really enjoyed him. He said, I got this new job. It's awesome, right? This is what I do. And I'm like, what is it? You know, he's like, I work for a hedge fund. And I go, they pay me, right, to go to these auctions and buy tax liens. And I'm like scratching my head, you know, and what at the time, I mean, now, you know, this was back in early 2000, they weren't online. And so these hedge funds wanted to buy tax liens, which is usually a sign that there's a lot of good value to be had there, right? Because hedge liens don't make dumb investments. But that was what his job was. He drove around the state with a paddle and he just went and they gave him a blank check, right? Or told him, here's 50 grand, you got a million, whatever the number was. And he just raised his paddle on a list of stuff. And that was what he did. And he got paid a boatload of money as a college kid to go do this. And he had no thought, no nothing, just spend someone else's money, buy these, don't buy these. And here we are, you know, at the time, I had no idea what it was. I just thought it was cool. And here it is. He's basically out there at these auctions buying tax liens.
Yeah, the positive is he could invest a lot of money very quickly, which is what a hedge fund wants. And the negative is he didn't know what he bought.
Right.
So how are you going to know what you bought? See, that's the problem. So what they do is this is a list for Tampa. So you could go into this list and say, I want all the ones on this list. And you could buy them one at a time. Just keep raising the paddle and keep buying them. Problem is, what if they were all in a place that had no road, you couldn't get there, or it was in the swamp or something like that. There, all liens that were marked out. So the hedge funds found out, oh, we better not do too many more of those. because people didn't come in to redeem them. People wouldn't come in and pay for them. So that was one of the challenges. But the point is, any person that wanted to do it with a reasonable amount of training can make significant money. All right, so I have people now, what they do is they get this list. Now, if I know your Social Security number, and I could look up your Social Security number and know things about you, or the police could know everything about you, or an attorney could know everything about you. Well, you could do that same thing with a property. So your house, in my house, it has a parcel number on it. Okay, well, that's like our Social Security number for the house. You can go click, click, click. You can know all about that. Well, what if you can know about these properties before you ever even bid on them? So it's worth $100,000 for this nice property. What if you could get that for a $1,000 tax lien? You'd say, whoa, I'd like to buy that tax lien. And so you bought the lien. Well, if the people come in and pay the lien, you get cash. But if they don't come in and pay the lien, you get the house. But you only spend $1,000. So that's how simple it was. So he was in big time business, and he was just having probably the greatest time of his life. Go drive around and spend money, right?
Yep. It was a fun gig. That's for sure.
I bet he was. Think of the people that have an IRA today, what they could do in an IRA. Buy those and stack them up in there. All the money you make, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
How good is that?
There's some really, really cool. And we over the years, we've seen clients buying and selling tax liens at all different times. And, you know, tax liens in 2008, 9, 10, there was so much discussion about them because of the economy. And candidly, you know, I always thought that, you know, well, when the economy's good, there's no tax liens, you know, because and we're going to talk about this here in just a minute, but this investment doesn't need, it benefits, I think, when the economy's not doing well, but there's tax liens in good times and in bad times.
Absolutely. So let me address that just a little bit. And I'm going to show you some different ones just to give you an idea. So a place like California, people talk about California. Wow, the housing cost, average house now, the median prices is real close to $900,000. Well, $900,000 is still going to generate a 1% tax on that property. So a lot of people won't pay the tax. And if they didn't pay the tax in California, they don't take the property away right away. They go for 5 years before they put it in default. 5 years before it goes in default. So those properties ultimately are going to sell at auction. So this is a list for just Los Angeles, not for the state. Just for Los Angeles. There's 2,000 on that list. I got another list here with another 1,000 on it from an auction that came up shortly after that. There's another 1,000. That's how many is available. So people buy, and this means you're going to get the property. So when they buy at these auctions, they actually get the property. So now we're in a good, I'd say we're in a good to great economy. Okay, now the inflation's affecting people, but real estate has been a great economy over the past couple of years. Yet over a great economy, and I don't have my glasses on, but I'll tell you the date of this. This is a newspaper. It says Tampa Bay Times. Okay, I don't have my glasses on, so I have to squint. May 15 and 22nd, the auctions for tax lien certificates. There's over 30,000 certificates in this newspaper in that one county, in a good market.
Now we're gonna dive into that, Ted, and talk about, you know, that market and what that actually does and means, because I think you've underscored very well that it doesn't have to be a great economic time, right, or a bad economic time to have a differentiator. People still lose their jobs in good times. People still overspend in good times. People still have financial hardship in good times. And as a result, right, one of the things that often gets that often goes delinquent, right, is property taxes.
Well, and people forget what they own. Sometimes people from Michigan will fly to Florida, or they'll fly to Texas or Alabama, or pick a state, because they want to be warm in the winter months. So they're going to be like a snowbird. They're going to come every time it snows. When they see the low prices compared to what it is in Michigan or New York or Chicago, they see the low price, so they buy a property. Well, when you buy a property, you now have a responsibility to pay the tax on it. Well, if the tax bill comes to the house and you don't have your mail forwarded, that property could end up in tax default. So I have clients that actually buy these houses. They watch for these people that don't pay their tax, and they go out and they buy up the tax defaulted properties. Well, they're buying those properties for 10 cents on the dollar, and it's happening all the time. Now, the converse of that, same thing. People in Florida say, oh, it's too hot. I don't want to be in the... And so they go to Michigan so they can go fishing on the lakes and have a nice time. They forget that they buy the mountain cabins or their lake cabins, and they don't pay their tax. And so those go. So actually, people die, and people forget how much they own. And those properties all end up... Otherwise, those properties would just be abandoned and would deteriorate, would have those all over the United States. In the middle part of the country, we have actually bought in certain counties that would have as many as 3,000 homes where no one paid the taxes for as much as 4 and 5 years.
Wow.
And we would go buy those homes, and we could do it by mail. We would live in California, would buy a house by mail, and then we'd have the brokers sell the property for us. It's amazing. So it's really a huge, huge business, but it's kind of under the under all the publicity of, you know, here's this big, beautiful house or mansion, or I don't know if you read the Wall Street Journal, but every Friday they show all the mansions. Well, I don't know how many people buy the mansions, but, you know, there's still thousands and thousands of properties that you and I call a mansion, which are just the house we live in. And these properties are going to auction, and people don't know that because, you know, there's no big fuss. Nobody's making a fuss on it because the government is very low key about tax defaulted property and about tax lien. They're very low key. There's more leftovers than what they sell.
You're doing a good job, Ted, on getting the word out there. So, and hopefully today we can get a few more people at least to go consider and look at it. I want to talk about the actual tax lien process when talked about tax deeds and kind of the bidding process, because the world has changed a little bit over the last 10 to 15 years in the approach. Before we do that, I'm going to throw you on the hot seat with our quirky questions of the day. So be ready for them. Amy has got our envelopes. Thank you, Amy. And these can be sent to allaboutalts@newviewtrust.com. All right, Ted, we got three quirky questions for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question one. You still writing with a pen and paper, or are you taking your notes on something digital? All right. I like where your head's at. I just can't get used to that. I'm a pen and paper guy myself.
Oh, but in all fairness, everybody in my office is way on the computer. I still dictate letters and so on, but I have 4 computer experts in my office, and then in Panama, which we outsource a lot of that work to Panama, we have another 10 people all on the computer all day.
You gotta be. The world's moving very fast in that direction. All right. What's the most peculiar skill you've ever wanted to learn?
Peculiar skill?
Skill or hobby. Yeah. What's the weirdest thing that you'd love to know how to do, but you just haven't figured it out yet?
Well, I'd love to do, I'd like to do deep sea diving, but my first career was a pilot, so I could never go under the water because you're always going up where there's less air. So you don't want to go down where you're jamming air to. I always wanted to go under the water. I did a little skin diving where you could, you know, go down 30 or 50 feet. But I always wanted to go deep and see what the bottom of it all looked like.
Yeah, that's a little scary for me down there, but cool nonetheless. All right. If you could hire any celebrity as your personal assistant, who are you hiring and why?
Oh, my God. I would probably figure out one of the recent TV people. I would hire a guy like a very conservative guy that I watch all the time. His name is Mark Levine. He's a conservative guy, but he used to be a prosecutor and an attorney and all that. He has a deep knowledge of what the American government is all about, and I've always appreciated it. I'm a real patriot, so I'm really an advocate of have a great country and take care of all the great people that are around you.
All right. Well, he sounds like a guy that would be able to answer most of your questions or take care of just about anything you needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Ted, you're off the hot seat. That was hopefully not too bad for you today.
Who comes up with the questions?
Listener submitted. So I don't even read them until I get the envelopes in here. But we get a bunch of them in the email, and Amy, who heads up the podcast.
I can't imagine what the answers turn out to be there, but probably be fun.
There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer, right? They're quirky and they're yours to decide on. All right, Ted, let's talk about what is, you know, you kind of mentioned a tax lead is an unpaid tax, and you've highlighted, and I'll kind of reiterate, you know, the government expects X dollars to come in, right, to the municipality from property taxes. And when it doesn't, they've got a budget shortfall. So they sell these, right? And the interest rate that's predetermined, right, when at the time of purchase is ultimately paid by the person that owes the tax lien. So if I buy a tax lien at 18% on Ted's mansion, right, Ted's going to, when he eventually realizes he forgot to pay it, he's going to have to pay that 18%. And that all goes to me in the form of profit. So that's just the general premise. And I'm only saying the same thing you said earlier, but just to set the table here. What does that look like? You mentioned that California has 5 years and there's tax deeds and you can actually buy the house. Let's use a state like Florida, because that's where I reside. What does that look like? So you buy a tax lien because Ted forgot to pay his taxes in 2024. What's it look like?
Okay, well, take the start with the whole nation, and you've got just a little over 3,000 counties. Okay, about 45% of those counties are counties that sell tax lien certificates. Now, any county that sells a tax lien certificate is a benevolent county. They're being very nice. Why am I saying they're benevolent? Because every property in the United States is 100 million properties. Of the 100 million properties, all of them are due to pay a property tax this year. Okay, a few percent won't pay their tax because someone passed away, someone got sick, there was an accident in the family, maybe there was a medical bill that was bad, they prefer to take care of their son than pay the taxes, whatever that was, all right? So in the benevolent states, like a Florida or like an Iowa, those are very benevolent states, they don't want their people to ever lose a property. So what they simply do is they say, all right, Jason, you didn't pay your tax, so we're going to send you a notice of default. You didn't pay your tax. All right, if you don't come in and pay by X date, we're going to issue a piece of paper, which is nothing more than a lien and an encumbrance that's going to weigh on the property. That little piece of paper is called a tax lien certificate. It looks just like that. The one behind it is a tax deed. This is a tax lien. All right, now that tax lien affects you in no way. You still live in the property. You have ingress and egress. You have all the privileges you always had. However, you have a lien on this property that you must pay in Florida within 2 years. So anytime during that 2 years, you have 100% control of your property. Nobody can bother you. You have what's called quiet possession. But I paid the tax. So when I pay the tax, I only paid the tax because I want a reward. And my reward could be, in Florida, anything from zero up to 18%. So 18% is the most I can make my money. So if I paid your $5,000 tax and you weren't able to pay it for the first year, well, then when you do come in to pay, and by the way, 95 to 97% of the people will come in and pay. So when you come in and pay your $5,000, you have to add on that 18%. I'm actually going to get that 18%. What the county will do, in the old days, they'd say, all right, Ted Thomas, send your certificate in and we'll pay you when they get. Now they don't even do that. They just go click, click, and there it is on my phone. It's already been deposited in my bank account. All right, so when you paid your tax, the county's got their money. I don't get a dime until they get their money. And then there's that 18% of mine. So there are people that want this investment. This investment is very conservative. In my opinion, it's the safest investment in America today. Why is it safe? Because if you don't pay, I'm going to ultimately be able to end up with a property under most circumstances. All right. Now, every state has their own rules, so there are some quirks in the rules. But of the 17, 19 states that do sell these certificates, they all have their own rules. So you have to learn those rules. But the overall deal is if you pay, I get the high interest. If you don't pay, I'm going to get the property. That's an oversimplification of it, but the property owner is protected. So in Florida, they believe in protecting their seniors. So they make complicated rules on how the property can be foreclosed on and so on. So that's what a tax lien certificate is. All right. All states, the legislatures pass law in all states that everybody has to pay the tax. The other states are not benevolent. They are going to say, Jason, you didn't pay your tax. If it's not paid on the 10th, we are going to put you in default. And now we're going to have an auction. And we're going to auction off your property. In other words, they're going to send the sheriff, remove you from that property, and they're going to sell the property to the highest bidder. To the highest bidder. All right, your property's gone. That's all there is to it. So one gets a tax lien. That's a benevolent state. The other one's a tax deed where you get the property. Now, in the benevolent state, the property owner never leaves the property until the last minute. In a tax deed state, as soon as you go to default, they can confiscate your property. So one is harsh, but they have to be to get some people to pay their taxes, all right? Now, California, to use the opposite, to give you just another one to think about, California is very liberal state. So California, taxes default one year, tax default another year, tax default. Those tax defaults were gone for 5 years. So there's billions of dollars sitting in the treasury that's owed, billions. I mean, for a state that needs money, it's an insane rule. Now, they actually changed the rule 30 years ago, but no treasurer will put it into effect. They could sell tax liens in California, but they don't. So California, if you went to San Bernardino County, in my 30 years of doing it, I've never seen less than 3,000 properties come up for auction. Never seen less than 3,000 properties. Sometimes it's more. This auction, this one had 2,500. The other one I showed you had 1,000. So that's the difference between a tax lien and a tax deed. They're both powerful investments. They both need some kind of education. Don't just do it, but you don't. It's not so complicated. You can't learn how to do it.
So and thank you for that. And I think it's a really good understanding of they both accomplish the same thing from a county perspective, but they do it in two completely different ways. Right? Choose path A or path B. There's really no path C. Right. Let's talk about tax liens. And when a tax lien can force the sale, i.e., maybe I'm saying this right or wrong, but basically can become the tax deed, right? Which is this forced sale of this property. So let's use Florida, right? You bought the tax lien that Jason didn't pay. I've got 2 years to rectify it. Otherwise, while still having quiet enjoyment of the property, what happens at the end of that 2 year clock?
Florida is a very complicated state because when you go through this process, because they want to protect the senior, they do not want to protect the investor. So if you own a tax lien certificate, so I own this certificate, at the end of 2 years, all right, that's a completion of that certificate. Now, if I want to get paid, I own that certificate, I want to get paid. Now, I have to petition the county that I live in, where I bought the certificate. I have to petition the county to make another sale. And the second sale, the subsequent sale, is called a tax defaulted auction, which is what all the other states had in the first sale. It's a tax defaulted auction. Now, when that property goes to auction, okay, if someone comes in and pays a high price for it, they sell it to the highest bidder. So when they sell it to the highest bidder, they'll pay me the high bid on whatever I had. So if I had 18% certificate, I'll get paid the 18%. But if nobody comes in and buys that property, I'll get the property.
And
either way, you get paid or you get the property. That's why it's the safest investment in America, in my opinion, because you're either going to get paid on the certificate or you're going to get the property. When you get the property, it has no mortgage and no deed of trust.
And what about a property that sells outside of that, a normal sale? So let's say you've got this tax lien, you've had it for 2 years, you're petitioning the state, it's a slow process, right? And Jason decides to just list it for sale and sell it to someone off the streets for 300 grand so that he doesn't lose the property over $10,000 worth of unpaid taxes.
Good, you should exercise that right, because you're gonna save yourself a lot of money by doing that. So exercise that right and do that. However, in Florida, the property is going to go through some kind of an escrow process, and it's going to go to a title company. The title company is going to say, whoa, wait a minute, first lien on this property was the taxes. It's unpaid, no problem. The buyer brought in the money, we'll pay off that lien. Now the lien's gone. And if you own the lien, you'll get paid. Along with that other subsequent lien, like if they hadn't paid for the roof to be fixed, or they hadn't paid that mechanic's lien, or they hadn't paid a judgment from a dentist because they didn't get the tooth fixed, whatever, all those liens, the escrow officer will pick all that up and pay it. Every lien that's on title, they'll pay it. They'll make sure before they distribute any money to anyone, they'll make sure the mortgage holder.
What if it doesn't sell for enough? Or how does that work? You got a mortgage for $300,000. You got a dentist lien for $5,000. You got $10,000 in tax liens, and the property sells. The property's in disrepair, and not what all you know. All the and it sells for $200,000. Where is a tax lien holder in the pecking order?
The tax lien is always the number one lien. So think of the whole United States. All right, when we started out with colonies. Okay. Then from the colonies, they started taking over the mountain states and moved out to the Great Lakes. And then they moved all the way to California, and they pushed the Mexicans down into Mexico. And they took that over. As they took it over, those states had their own state laws. They all followed one law. That one law that's universal is the first lien on real estate is always the tax lien. You can't get in front of that lien. It's always the first lien. Then every lien after that has a pecking order. It's a very simple pecking order. First in time is first to be paid. First in time. So the lien that was a tax lien, it was put on the day that became a state. They had a state, they had counties in the state. Wham, county tax lien was on there. So that's the first lien. Usually the next lien will be a mortgage because someone has a lien on the property, so they want to build a house. So they go to the Bank of America, Wells Fargo Bank, a loan company, want to build a house, okay? So that... Everybody calls it the first lien, but the bank loan is the second lien because the first lien is always taxes. It's always, you know, you can check every property and every treasurer in the United States, all say the same thing. Tax lien certificate, tax lien is always the first lien. Everything else is done by date and time. There is a very significant pecking order that stood up in every court case since we began doing court cases.
So there's another feather in the cap as a tax lien holder. If it's a good property, right, it's not this underwater property in Okeechobee where someone someday is going to come in and want to buy it, right? It doesn't matter if it's got a $10 million mortgage on the house that's only worth $50,000. If your tax lien is $50,000 and there's $50,000 of value, you get your $50,000 before the bank sees their $10 million.
Exactly, exactly. So that's why it's such a safe investment. And the people that are challenged by that are challenged by logic. The logic bothers them that, you know, that this doesn't work the way they want it to work. So it's a very regimented system that was invented by the Pilgrims. Actually came from England. They brought it over here, and it's worked for decades, and it always works. I mean, there'll be challenges to it, but the first lien is always the first lien, and it's always the taxes.
Pretty cool stuff. Ted, yes. You have overwhelmed us, me specifically.
Oh, that's a nice today. Thing to say.
I can't thank you enough for being here. Anything we didn't talk about or ask as we bring the show?
Well, we should talk, I'd say just briefly that people that are investors, you guys provide services for these people. They need to do this. I have clients that started out with $2,000 IRAs that are now multimillionaires because they started with a traditional IRA, ultimately turned it into a Roth IRA, and ultimately bought properties in an IRA. So there are people that have bought properties off a defaulted lands list or bought properties off a leftover list or a strike-off list or one of those for absolutely pennies on the dollar, but they held those properties. And maybe they spent a little time and money fixing them with the money from their IRA, and they grew that asset. But they grew that asset without having to pay a tax. And if it was a Roth IRA, they never have to pay the tax. You know, $1 million not having to pay tax on it is a lot more than $1 million in my mind.
Ain't that the truth? But we certainly believe that the exact same way. And think, you know, we love diversity inside retirement accounts. We love to see people you know, exercising their right to buy tax certificates or tax defaulted properties. Always fun, always exciting to see our customers engage in that. So, Ted, thank you again so much for being here. We'll certainly look maybe to have you back in season three. Love to talk a little bit about some of the economic conditions and where things are headed and what that may do for tax, you know, defaulted properties. Naturally, we'll put certainly some wind to the sail. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But Ted, thank you again for joining. Hit that like, share, subscribe button. We appreciate you being regular listeners to the All About Alts podcast. We'll look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope the information within this podcast has given you the tools that you need to find your way to financial independence. We would love to partner with you on this journey. Text ALTS, that's ALTS, to 407-708-1853 to learn more about how to get started today. Don't forget to follow us to make sure you don't miss a second of content, and we'll see you next week.